Good morning, everybody. Morning. Morning, Jeff. Let's today turn to Romans chapter 13. We'll start at verse 1, and I think we'll just go to verse 10. So Romans 13, verse 1, starting at verse 1. Every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid. For it does not bear the sword for nothing, for it is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. Therefore, it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. Render to all what is due to them. Tax to whom tax is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Father God, we just just give you praise, Lord, for just being a just God and a sovereign God. And we just want to offer you this time, Lord. I pray that you would use me just to speak clearly as well as speak your heart and truth, and I just pray that we would all have open hearts to receive whatever revelation you have for us today. We thank you and we love you, Jesus. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So in the prior chapter, Romans 12, it finishes with Paul speaking on how to handle adversity, persecution, your enemies, and some of the nuggets that he sends us on how to handle those situations. I'll just speak them quickly. But verse 14, he says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. And then 17 onwards, it says, never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him, and if he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So Paul's wisdom at the end of verse 12 is not just, you know, turn the other cheek, not just do nothing and trust that God will do something. He's saying, do something, bless the people, be so nice to those who persecute you or who are nice. And his wisdom, it says, you will heap burning coals on his head. What that means is you will shame them, right? Basically, you're going to be, you know, when people are mean to someone or, you know, if someone berates someone, they know what they're doing, obviously, but they're just reacting out of emotion. And if you treat them so nice, they'll be overcome with shame. So that's Paul's wisdom on how to handle that. And then we come to Romans chapter 13, and kind of follows in, I guess, that response of being a blessing. And he talks about governing authorities, right? Food for thought, especially at this time. And what is Paul saying from verse 1 to 7? From verse 1, it pretty much sums it up. He says, be in subjection to governing authorities. Subjection, I had to actually look this up with my limited vocabulary, but subjection means to be basically under control, right? Straight up, that's what it means. So be in control to the governing authorities. So what does that mean? It means, what's saying is be an upstanding citizen. Be a good citizen wherever you're being governed. And that might mean like pay your taxes, pay your bills on time, respect your leaders, you know, don't commit any crimes. And you might say, well, why should we do that? Why should we subject ourselves or let us be controlled by governing authorities? And it goes on to say, because God is the authority, and these governing authorities are God-appointed. So all to say, the governing authorities we have, it's a God thing. It says it in this verse. And, you know, God is a God. He wants order, right? And believe it or not, every leader wants order. Whether it be the United States of America or even to, you know, led by Obama, all the way to North Korea in the dictatorship of Kim Jong-un, and they want order, right? Whether it be for their own self-interests, and even though probably a lot of times it benefits themselves, having order is beneficial to them, right? So they want, all these world leaders, they want order, and that's also what God wants. And these people are put in place by God for a purpose. So if this is also a God thing, we shouldn't just do it out of fear, right? Because obviously there's the consequences that come along. We don't want to be arrested. We don't want to be looked down upon. We don't want a criminal record. We don't want to get in trouble. But the reason we all would be in subjection to the government is out of our love for God, because this is actually what God wants. Because our moral compass isn't just our own flesh, right? Our moral compass is governed by what God wants. And in verse 5, it says, therefore, it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, thus, you know, the consequences of everything, but also for conscience sake, because you're doing this for God. So if we were to take this, take this premise a little bit closer, right? Basically, we're talking about the whole governing body, and Paul's call is to say, let's be really good citizens. But if we take it a little bit closer in our spheres, we might think of even the workplace, which applies the same thing. Because all of us are called to a certain work where we feel like God has led us to a place, but oftentimes we have a really tough situation still, right? oftentimes it might become, it comes as a very tough boss. But we have to realize even this boss is under God's sovereignty, right? And we are called to serve this very, very tough boss. And what we need to be is, you know, despite this boss who might berate us, who might be so demanding, who might not be fair, we need to still, just as it talks about in 12, we need to respond with blessing. So we bless, we, you know, be generous, come on time, do your work, provide the best work, you know. Like, that's what we're called to do. And even just recently, I heard from a friend, and she was sharing, she just started this new job and had a crazy tough situation where, first it was a great situation because she was the one in charge. And then the situation happened where she got a new boss. And this new boss wasn't happy that she was the new boss because she got transferred here. So if she's already not happy, imagine just how it's being communicated to everyone else. So obviously some of it is she's yelling at my friend, just always yelling at my friend for no real reason. And she did exactly what verse 12, respond with blessing, right? And she said, I've just been, because I asked her, oh, how's it been? How's it been? And are you gonna change jobs? Obviously, a lot of times when we go through those tough bosses or seasons, we're like, oh, maybe God wants me to change jobs. But she also recognized God put her in that job for a reason. And she's just been so nice. She said, I've been so nice to this boss. You know, I've just been like, when she yells at me, I just, she just takes it, but not takes it personally, but she just, you know, takes it, right? And I think the reason she can take it, because she knows that her true boss is God, right? And what God says to her and speaks to her, obviously, is more important than what this earthly boss says to her. But despite that, so she's just been so nice, almost it doesn't make sense. And as a result, she said the boss has started being nice to her as well. It's only, you can't help it. I think it's that shame that comes upon you. Like, I'm being such a tough, unloving person, but this person is still responding to me with such love and grace. It's just human, right? So that's, even in our workplace, we need to be, just as in our nation, country, we need to be good citizens. In the workplace, the best thing to do is be an upstanding colleague, upstanding employee. And same with even family. I think many of us, from what I've heard and know, we've been saved, but our families haven't been saved. And the best way to make that transformation, to get them to, you know, embrace it, is also to be a really good family member. I think oftentimes we become Christians and then suddenly you neglect your family. You know, you never suddenly spend time with family, you never do family dinners. It's like, oh, everything is church, right? So of course they feel unloved. It's like, what is this church thing? But if we respond as being an excellent family member, and you know, they feel more loved, you're spending more quality time, you're being more generous, you're being more considerate, you know, hopefully, you know, for many expats, you're calling your parents more, asking how they are, you're just listening. That's how you change them, right? And I have a brother, same thing happened. He was sharing, he grew up in a very strict Buddhist family, very traditional. Like, you know, if you're Chinese, you have to believe, you have to be Buddhist. And I think it's because, I believe it's because of his transformation, right? And recently, he was saying his dad actually told him, like, hey, are you going to church? And then he said yes. He's like, oh, why don't you take your sister along? Because I don't think she has anything to do. So he's kind of like shocked. Well, his perception of church is kind of different, right? So this obviously doesn't just apply to work, government, family. It's anywhere where you have a governing body. So whether it be even church, house church, right? We have to be subject to our leaders, right? Whether we believe in everything they believe or not, right? But what God wants is us to do it out of love. God put those leaders in our life for a reason. Sometimes it doesn't make sense because I think God, he doesn't want to only just bless us. He wants us to grow. And sometimes that growth comes with tough leaders, right? But what happens if the leader really goes against what we believe, right? And the answer is the ultimate leader, and the why we even serve these leaders who are imperfect, who might not believe in, is because we serve God, and God has appointed these leaders. So our true leader that we need to follow and not compromise with is still God. I mean, you look at the story of Daniel. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? They were, if you look at their situation, they were just conquered, and I'm sure all their leaders were probably put to death by Nebuchadnezzar. And if anything, if I were them, I would have probably schemed in my head of how to get close to the king and then kill him, right? Like revenge. Like, this is what God wants. God, he killed all our leaders. That makes sense, revenge. But no, that's not how they responded. They were handpicked to be the best of the best and be part of the wise men that surrounded counselors to the king. And they rose those ranks, right? They were just being outstanding. But when it came push to shove, when it came to eating that idol meat that the king wanted so that they could get fat, they refused. They said no. When it came down to bowing down when the horn blew, same thing, right? They refused. Because in the end, they were there to serve God, whether it be push to shove, whether it be, you know, being thrown in the fire, still. So I don't want you to think because you're subjected to your leaders, you know, you have to blindly follow. We follow, ultimately, we still follow God, and we follow these people to because God appointed them for a reason. And but when it comes push to shove, we still follow Jesus. So, in conclusion, I mean, all these things we do as Christians, we should be the best, right? In Hong Kong, we should be the best Hong Kong citizens. In our work, we really should be the best employees. And in our family, we should be, well, if it's like, whether it be Christian or not Christian, we should try to be the best family members, best, you know, best house church members, alpha leaders, barista, servers, whatever you're part of, just be the best of that. And that will be more than, I think it will be the most effective in being a witness, but it's also what God wants. You're not doing this for glory or show. It's part of your moral conscience, right? You do it because that's what God wants. Basically, we do this out of love. So as Janella leads us in a song, so it's basically just one point today. And that one point is just the verse one. Which is every person is to be in subjection, or you could say control, to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. God is sovereign. God is in control. And, you know, we have to have faith, just as it says in Jeremiah 29:11. He has plans for you. He knows the plans for you, plans to prosper you and not cause you harm. And I'm sure for many of us who are, especially in the marketplace, where we always deal with difficult personalities, leaders who aren't necessarily of the faith and aligned with what we believe, it can be tough, really tough. But the good thing is, ultimately, you're not even really serving this boss. You're actually serving God. And you're serving God by really respecting, by being an excellent employee, by honoring the people, the bosses before you. So let's just take this time to, if you have not been doing that, to do that, because that's what God wants. And even ask for God, Holy Spirit within us, to really help us, give us that strength, that patience, and I think most importantly, to give us a heart to really want to serve those that God has appointed for us to serve. So let's pray.
Thank you.
just pray for everyone here with us today, Lord. And even as we confess with our mouths that we surrender, Lord, I pray that you would come and just fill us up, Lord. Right now, Lord, just come. Fill up everyone here, Lord, with your love, God, with your presence, God. Just come and fill them up, Lord. Yes, God. Just more of your presence, Lord. Yes, Lord, we just desire more, God, more. And as you fill us up, Lord, I just pray that that would really be the fuel, Lord, that would, it would be the fuel that would really drive us today, God, not our own ambition or our, you know, our insecurities or, you know, our desire to just make it in this world, Lord. No, it would just be a response to you, Lord, God. And we just want to be faithful in that, Lord, and let your love that has flowed into us just overflow into others, God, into the people we work for as well as the people we work with. God, and even the people we manage, Lord, let your love just spill over, God. You know, just through our actions, our generosity, our the words that we speak, Lord, let it just flow, overflow, God. Let's now respond and let's also pray for our community. We can pray for first those who are just going through cancer, chemo, as well as recovering. Let's pray for a full healing as well as, you know, that God's presence would be just really be strong with them so that they would know they're not doing this on their own. Let's also pray for our community of those who are ill, as well as, but also even more importantly, just really need to know that God is real in their life. And so let's pray that through these circumstances, or even just through God speaking, that He would reveal Himself to them, and that they would have an open heart as well. Also pray for those with infirmities and for just a full 100% healing as God intended.
Let's lift up also those who are looking for jobs, for God's provision, as well as that they would really make the most of this opportunity right now to seek God wholeheartedly and to draw near Him as well, and just for encouragement from each other and brothers and sisters as well. Go to our Thursday prayer focus. So let's first just pray for this whole Occupy movement. Let's pray for peace, that God's peace would just fall on people, that there would be, pray against the violence, pray that it would, even through the emotion, that people, strong emotions that people have, that they would still have reason, and that God's will would be done for Hong Kong and China. Mission focus. Let's lift up North Korea, Chris and the community, South Korea, just with any future church plant that SP might have, that we will be open to it. And let's also pray for Japan, Pastor Mitsunobu, as well as P. Sophia, who is in the process of being trained to go to Japan. Pray for our IP, Well, and Cascade. Let's pray for just the members, the leaders, to really have that discernment. And even as they minister, that they would do everything out of love for God, love for people. So let's also pray that they would really have that love relationship with God first. Also lift up the men's and women's ministries. We can pray for the men's retreat, which will go from October 31st to November 1st. Let's pray that the men, let's pray for unity, that through this trip that they would really feel a bond for each other, but in the things of God. And we can also pray for the Yamama, which is the young adults women who will be having their first meeting on November 1st. And let's just pray also for, you know, this excitement and desire to just come together to seek God for fellowship as well. Let's also lift up our outreach team, SP Lights Outreach, as well as SP Lights Outreach, and as well as our Homie Outreach. Finally, let's lift up house churches tonight. Let's pray for Austin West, Soho House Church, and Robin Hood. Let's pray that they would have a wonderful time of fellowship, discussion about missions, as well as just have an opportunity where God would show up and that they could just experience God in that intimate setting. Yes, God, we just thank you for this morning, Lord, and I just pray for everyone here today, God, that you would bless them, God, that they would get to experience more blessings throughout the day, God, and help them to even just see with their spiritual eyes and the tug from you, Holy Spirit, of what you're doing, what opportunities there are, God. And help us just to be faithful in all things, the little things, the big things, but especially the little things, Lord. Help us to be faithful in the little things. For all things, God, you are so worthy. So we just thank you, Lord, and we just want to experience more of you, Lord, and just be closer to you as well. We just thank you and love you, and I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I encourage you to just take this time just to continue to have that quality time with God. Have a great day.